This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Today, we're following up on our shows about the American dream and what it means to you now. Listeners have written us a ton of letters over the past month about buying a house, paying for college, retirement, and the cost of getting sick. We wanted to answer some of the questions we've gotten during our series, so I'm joined by Jill Schlesinger. She's a CBS News business analyst and a familiar voice on this show. Very nice to have you back, Jill.
Great to be with you.
All right. So our first caller is Melanie, and she's in Manchester, Connecticut. Hey, Melanie.
Hi.
I gather we've confused you.
Yes. So I'm an avid listener to the podcast. And so that always means that I listen to about, you know, anywhere from like 5 to 7 podcasts within a few days.
Good. We love you.
Oh, okay. And so basically what it is I was listening to a podcast and there's a lady on there whose daughter is going to University of Maryland and that she has paid out of pocket for her daughter's whole entire education. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You know, and her whole big thing is, okay, you need to not have any debt, like carry any debt whatsoever. And I'm like, okay, that's not realistic for me. And then you have another contributor on here who's like, okay, it's all about retirement. You need to save for retirement. You know, don't worry about your student loans. You'll pay them off when you pay them off. So my question is we have a little bit of a nest egg, and we're going to start a family. But the question is do we pay off student loans? Do we talk with a financial planner about this nest egg? Or do we just keep what it's doing right now, which is sitting in our checking account and doing nothing?
Well, first, I have a couple of questions for you, which is how old you are, what you and your husband or partner do, and how much debt you have and how much you're making.
Gotcha. Okay. Both my husband and I are 34 years old. The only debt we have are my student loans. His student loans have been paid in full. I have student loans from my first bachelor's degree and student loans from my second associate's degree.
How much is the total amount of student loan debt right now?
Okay, so it's $55,000 and it's all mine.
And the interest rate of that debt?
The interest rate on one of them is 4.5%. And the other one is varied for anything from 3.5 to 6.5.
And how much was the nest egg?
Nest egg we have is $25,000.
Sweet. How much do you guys make together?
Our combined income after taxes is a little bit over $100,000.
That's awesome. We're liking that.
Yeah.
It's good numbers.
So I suspect Jill has some thoughts for you on your dilemma. Go for it.
Yeah. So my first thought is that the answer to who's right between those two podcast advisees would be yes. Okay. And the reason is that it's hard to give across the board advice to people. Oh, you have to have all your debt paid off before you can pay into your retirement, because every situation is unique and yours is unique as well. If I put my financial planner hat on and, you know, I did pass that CFP test, Lizzie, and I'm never giving it up. I would pay down some of the higher interest student loan debt first. So, you know, the 6.5 down to 4.5, I'd be psyched if you could pay that off. But if you could also swing at the same time, putting some minimum amount away into retirement, especially if either you or your husband has a match available to you, I almost would say, yes, I would prefer it if you guys could do a little bit of both. I wouldn't be in a huge rush to pay off a 3.5% loan. But to me, 6.5%, if I'm thinking about what I could do with my money, I'd like a guaranteed return of 6.5%. And that's what you're getting when you pay off a 6.5% loan. So do you guys have match opportunities from your employers?
Yes, and that's the thing is I work part-time, he works full-time. He's contributing the max amount that he can match, and I'm contributing the max amount that I can get matched.
I think that's great.
So the question is do we contribute more, or do we talk with like a financial planner about investing, or do we like it's sort of like what do we do?
If I were your financial planner, and I used to play one, I would say you don't really need to go to a financial planner, and you don't need – I mean, the reality is that there's only a limited amount of resources you have. It may seem tempting to take your nest egg and to pop it down and get rid of a whole bunch of debt at once, but that leaves you without an emergency reserve fund, and that's kind of freaky to me. I mean, one of the things that we learned, you know, now 5 years after the financial crisis is people who had those nice nest eggs were really happy to have them. So I wouldn't presume to say dive into the nest egg and deplete it. I would continue to do what you're doing currently, which is use your retirement plans, put up to the match in, and clock down your student loan debt, highest interest to lowest interest. And I might stop short at the 3.5% or 4% notes, but I would really want to pay that off. And I think there's nothing better than getting a risk-free return.
You mentioned that the student loan debt, $55,000, is in your name. How do you and your husband talk about that debt? And do you pay it on your own, or does he contribute as well?
Well, he's the primary income earner. Let's put it that way. He works full-time. I work part-time. So the way it's sort of talked about is we have a joint checking account, and we combined everything, and it all comes out of that. So his debt was my debt when he had his student loans, and my debt is now his debt.
Seems fair.
All right, Melanie, I hope this is helpful to you, and keep us posted, okay? Let us know what happens.
Okay, I appreciate this. Thank you. It does. It helps me to think further on some other endeavors.
Thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you.
Jill, we have another caller now, Jennifer from Providence, Rhode Island. Hey, Jennifer, tell us about your situation.
Hi, thanks so much. So I'm calling today because my husband and I are having a little bit of trouble figuring out what to do with some of our retirement money. So specifically, my husband was self-employed for a long time, and so we opened a solo 401k for him and have been contributing the max to that for a couple years. But in the middle of this year, he decided to become an employee. So we're looking ahead to next year. Now that he's employed, we can no longer contribute to the solo 401k. And his new company is a small business, and they have no retirement plan at all. So they don't offer a 401k. So we're kind of curious about what should we do with all of this money that we used to contribute to the solo 401k. We are already maxing out my 403b and maxing out both of our Roth IRAs.
And how old are you guys, and what do you do?
So we're in our early 30s. My husband is an engineer, and I'm a professor.
Dare I ask where in Providence you are a professor?
A little school, a great school called Providence College.
Very nice. She's a friar.
I am a friar.
I happen to go to college across town on College Hill, so I have great respect for the friars. They used to kick our butts in every sporting event possible.
Jill, what do you think?
You know, this is a very hard question because for those of you listening, you probably don't even know that there's this thing called a solo 401k. So when you're self-employed or you have your own small business, you can not just put away what you would put away in a regular 401k, $17,500, you can put up to $51,000, $56,500 if you're over the age of 50. So going from being able to put $51,000 in Jennifer's husband's case to zero is massive. The problem is there's not a great solution for you. You're already maxing the Roth IRA, so $5,500 each. Now you're left with, okay, any other way to do it on a tax advantage basis? Anything cool I can do here?
Yeah.
No. That's the problem. The answer is that you've got two big choices. Some insurance salesman is going to tell you, I have a brilliant idea. You should buy an insurance product. You should either buy some sort of permanent life insurance and plow tons of money in there, or you should buy an annuity product, which would allow you to invest on a tax-deferred basis, and that will be a fabulous idea for you. It's also a very expensive way to do your investing. So what may be most logical for you at this time is something that's probably counterintuitive, which is you might just want to invest an after-tax dollar in either a mutual fund company or at a brokerage company where you could buy index funds and have a nice, boring portfolio. It's after-tax dollars. You probably have plowed a lot of money into your retirement accounts already. How much money do you have in his solo 401k and your 403b at this point?
So including everything, even including the Roths, We're at somewhere like 125,000, maybe a little bit more.
You know, what you'd obviously want to do is for your husband to sort of gently nudge the company to say, hey, come on, it's so cheap to put in a retirement plan now. There's so many great ways we can do it. We could do a simple plan. We could do a lot of different things that don't have to cost a lot of money. But short of the employer stepping up to the plate, you're kind of left with the rotten world of a very heavy fee-based insurance product, or I got to pay my taxes and basically invest in a after-tax account. I'll label it a retirement account filled with hopefully really cheap index funds.
Yeah.
I also just had a producer hop in my ear and tell me that you had, let me put it this way, a new financial responsibility arrive 7 weeks ago?
I do. I have a 7-week-old daughter, our first.
Congratulations.
And that's the other thing. So as soon as we got her Social Security number, we did open up already 2 college accounts for her, a Coverdale, which we maxed out, and then also a 529, which we put a chunk of change in. So we could always put more money in that.
Man, you're on top of it.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah, you've got you have a lucky daughter.
Wow. I mean, I think you're in fantastic shape. And, you know, when people always ask me this question about, like, should I maximize retirement or should I do this or should I do this? You know, especially in your 30s and your 40s, you've got a lot of needs. So I think it's great to be able to do a little bit of everything. And it sounds like you're fortunate enough to be able to do that.
I have to say, you sound remarkably with it for someone with a 7-week-old child.
I get lucked out. I got a very, very easy baby.
Well, congratulations, and thank you so much for calling.
Thank you both for your help. I really appreciate it.
Jill Schlesinger is my guest this hour. She is a CBS News business analyst and the host of Jill on Money. We have another question from another Jennifer, who is also in Providence, Rhode Island. I am not making this up. 2 Jennifers, both in Providence. Jennifer, we just had a caller with your same name and location.
I heard. Our name and location is probably the only thing we have in common. I'm not going to get such glowing reviews, I think, for being in such good shape.
Oh, please. Tell us your story.
Okay. Well, very briefly, for a variety of reasons, I got a very late start to my financial life. To the point where I am now 50 years old, and I've only been working full-time for 7 years. In those 7 years, I've really worked hard, and I've basically overcome a bankruptcy. I've started finally a 401k, which I now have about $101,000 in, and I have savings for the first time in my life at about $14,000, and I'm saving about $600 a month. So my question is, you know, I'm certainly not struggling, but at the same time, I like to feel like I am saving for a down payment for a house, but I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to do it. I have a partner, and she is an underemployed academic. She's actually trying to switch careers at this point because there are so few academic jobs in the humanities. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really have much savings. So I'm not quite sure whether I really can consider this a down payment for a house when it really should be my emergency fund, you know. And I probably should be putting more in my 401k if I want to retire before I'm like 90.
So, we're going to get you there at 88. Don't worry.
Can I ask you, what's your retirement goal? How long do you plan on working?
I would love to be able to retire, you know, before 70. I think that would be very nice.
Where are you living now?
I live in Providence. I work in Boston, so I take, you know, the train an hour and a half each way. In Providence, sort of not the greatest area. There is absolutely no place to sit outside. And, like, you know, the drug dealers are around the corner, but I'm getting it at a very low rate. So it's maximizing my savings.
What's the rent?
The rent is $625 a month.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I know. You know, in part because I am the caretaker of the house. It's one of those triple-decker houses, which you probably are familiar with in Providence. The landlord lives in Missouri, so I take care of it for him and get a discount on rent. But even without the discount, it's still ridiculously cheap.
it's hard for me to get so enthusiastic about the house thing. It sounds like you've got such a great deal. So number one is it's going to be hard for you to replicate that kind of low-cost living arrangement. But even so, let's presume that you really do want a house. And there's no reason why you shouldn't say, well, I could at least have a goal of a house. I mean, it doesn't mean it has to happen.
Right.
But, you know, I'd like to keep my options open. And the way that you would keep your options open is that $14,000 that you have in savings, you just keep contributing
right.
to it and keep
right.
letting that nest egg build up. At the same time that you would try to be maximizing your 401k. I mean, look, there's only so much money that you have available to you, right? You're
mm-hmm.
working hard, you're commuting. From my perspective, if you could figure out how to get yourself in a place where you're not doing that commute, it's also okay for you to say, maybe if your partner were to get a little bit better job and get some more pay
mm-hmm.
to say, you know, I don't want to manage this anymore. I know it's okay to spend a little bit more on your living arrangement. And I'm going to move
right.
to a nicer apartment on the east side for $1,000 a month because it's easier for me to live
right.
my life and have a little more joy. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It would be hard for me to justify to you, like, go ahead and kill yourself to buy a house because I'm not even sure to
right.
what end.
Right.
Have you and your partner, Jennifer, had conversations about what you want the next 5 years or 10 years to look like?
We do. We frequently have these conversations. But I think that she's a little bit demoralized because she's applied to a lot of jobs and she's not getting anything. When we have those conversations, it's hard for her to imagine those 5 years. You know,
right.
all she can think of is, like, my goal is to get a job.
No, I understand.
First of all, you've done a great job of kick-starting your savings and retirement. So I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
I really do. And I feel like I want to take you off the hook and say it's really okay not to own a house. And
yeah.
it's okay if it works out that you can own a house. But I wouldn't make yourselves crazy pursuing that goal when you've got a lot of other stuff that's really moving in the right direction.
Right.
I'm totally letting you off the hook. I'm absolving you. Aunt
yes.
Jill is absolving you right now.
That's, you know, that probably is exactly what I need.
Jennifer, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. Will you keep us
thank
posted,
you.
Please, and let us know what happens?
Absolutely. I totally will. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Our show on retirement generated a lot of questions from listeners. So today, my guest Jill Schlesinger is answering them. Our last caller is Sarah in Los Angeles. Thanks for calling, Sarah.
Thank you so much for taking my question. So I'm 26, and my boyfriend is about to turn 30. And I was thinking of gifts for him, and it occurred to me that if I was turning 30, I would really love it if someone gave me a retirement account.
That's so funny. It's great.
You know, put kind of a little chunk of money in there just to get it started. But he and I have very different financial habits. I'm worried that he will take it the wrong way. And I'm worried that it's kind of a mean gift to say, hey, you just turned 30, you should think about retirement because
you're
now
old.
You're old.
Here's some money.
Does he have a job?
He works full time, makes decent money.
So he does not contribute to a retirement plan through his job right now?
No. He doesn't contribute, I think, because they don't offer a matching contribution.
Before we get into your thoughts about your boyfriend, I'm going to have to big sister you. What do you do, and are you saving for retirement?
I'm not. I just left a perfectly good full-time job to go to graduate school. So I was saving for school and living expenses, and now I'm taking out student loans to pay for my tuition.
All right, I'm going to unleash Jill on you because I have a feeling that while you may be thinking very generously toward your boyfriend, I suspect she wants you to think generously toward yourself.
That's right. I actually think that the gift of a retirement plan is a lovely idea, and it's not mean. It's totally awesome. You're not really in a position to make any sort of huge gift. Frankly, as my friend would like to say, it would fry my onions if you were putting money into his retirement and he wasn't.
Now, what if there was a plan available? I've looked at our credit union and they have something where you can make a starting contribution of only
$500. $500? What do you mean you're in debt? What kind of $500 present are you getting him? Come on. I'm worried about you. I mean, don't you need $500 to pay for school?
Of course I do. But I have to get him something.
I think you've demonstrated tremendous thoughtfulness in thinking about this and thinking about his future and thinking about someone who you want to have a future with. I also am curious about your own financial situation. After school or during school, you are in your 20s, the sort of miracles of compound interest that even those 4 years before you turn 30 make a big difference.
Yeah, and I almost would say that the best gift you could give him right now is to sit down with him in front of his computer and enroll him in his 401k. You could even say, like, I even thought about just doing this for you, but, you know, I called these two crazy chicks on the radio, and they said it would be better for you to do it yourself. And
now, can you give me a little primer on the 401k then? I mean, what?
Sure.
How do I explain the benefits of that to him?
You can sit down and you can say, well, this is how a 401k works. You get paid a dollar, and some portion of that dollar you can choose to put into a 401k. And the money that goes into the 401k does not get taxed. So there's a dual benefit. The amount of your taxable income is starting to drop, and as a result, your tax bill will go down. Number two, you're socking money away into an investment at age 30 that you hopefully won't touch for 30 or 40 years. And the fact that your company doesn't match is meaningless. I mean, that's just an extra benefit. You still have to save for retirement. And to do it in a tax-efficient way is a pretty awesome deal.
Okay.
Are you feeling steely and ready to do it?
Well, now I have to think of what else I could get him for his birthday.
Oh, no. I know. I've ruined it. What's his hobby? Let's pick a present for him right now. What's his hobby?
He is really into music.
So get some funny, you know, audiophile type of present. Spend, you know, maybe a couple $100 and sit down and give him the gift of his retirement by getting him to enroll in the 401k.
Yeah, you're in L.A. You can go to Amoeba, the greatest record store on the planet.
Yes, we could do that.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks so much.
Jill, I appreciate the tough love. Jill Schlesinger is a business analyst for CBS News and the host of Jill on Money. Thank you very much for joining me.
It was so great to be with you.
And we'll check back in with Sarah soon to see how that conversation went. If you have a story or experience you want to share with us, or a possible birthday gift, you can visit marketplacemoney.org and click on the contact link.